All right. Let me turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching on anger in our overflow series, and we talked about how anger is not due to our circumstances. Anger is a heart issue. So just because we maybe have some bad circumstances in our lives, it does not give us the right to let our anger take control of our lives. And in the opposite way, joy is not due to our circumstances. And what we're going to look at tonight is how Paul could find joy in all circumstances of life. Whether good, bad, indifferent, didn't matter where he was at in life, he found joy. And there was one reason why, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So I want to begin reading in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here. We're going to go from verse 3 to 30. And read all of this. There's three sections here that we're going to cover. And then after I read this, I want to go back through and we're going to break it down a little bit. But just to kind of set the stage for what's happening here, Paul is in prison. This is one of the prison epistles that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Ephesians is where we were at with anger. And tonight, being in Philippians, both of those, plus Philemon and Colossians, were all written while he was in prison. So, as he's sitting there in prison, the church at Philippi wrote this letter, had some gifts they wanted to give Paul, and they sent Epaphroditus to meet with Paul in prison and deliver these gifts, and really to send him a word of encouragement, that they were praying for him, that they really were hoping the best for him, that he could get out. They hated that where he was, you know, that he was in prison. So Epaphroditus has delivered this message, delivered these gifts, and this is Paul's response to that. Okay, we're going to read chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you all are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you, all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So that's a mouthful. That's the first section. Now Paul is going to switch gears a little bit, and he shifts the conversation to a different topic. And he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now I want you to skip down to verse 19. Those next few verses, he's just talking about how some share Christ because they had boldness because of Paul. Some were doing it out of rivalry, but some were doing it for the right reasons. And he's saying, no matter what, I'm just happy that Christ is being proclaimed. Then he picks up in verse 19, he says, yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell, and I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So there's two things he's trying to say there at the end. Basically, we're going to go back in this at the end of the sermon, but to give you an idea of what that mouthful was at the end, he's basically saying, I'm going to live or die, But either way, my heart and desire is that Christ be glorified. That's what he's truly saying there in the last part of those few verses. So as I talked about two Sundays ago, the reason that I'm coming back to this scripture is I want you to understand that no matter your circumstances, you can find joy in your life. And not only that, you can be someone who encourages others in Christ, no matter where you're at in life, no matter how good or how bad it may be. And how many of you know when it's bad, it's really hard to find any joy? It's really easy to complain. It's really easy to find things to go, well, I don't know why I got to go through this. I don't know why this has to happen to me. And we can even question God on some of that. So I talked about this 2 weeks ago. I want to refresh your memory of what Paul went through before he wrote these words. Before he could say anything about being joyful, listen to what he went through in his life. He took a missions trip on a vessel, a ship, and the ship sank, and he had to swim for his life. He then sat out for his next appointment on foot, where he was robbed. Finally, he reached the destination, and while he was there, people mocked him, beat him, and cast him into prison. He was let free, and then he continued on to the next place, where he was stoned and left for dead. Yet God brought him back again to take another trip, where when he arrived, this was a church that he had built. They had a new leader who said, "We don't need you anymore, Paul. Move on, get out of the way, because we're happy without you." And he had turned all the people against Paul. So Paul moved on to where he found himself arrested and sitting in prison for 4 years before he wrote these words. Now, I don't know about you, but I could find plenty of ways to complain after all of that. We think we have it bad in our life. We think we go through hard times. But Paul truly knew what it was like to be persecuted. How many times have we been shipwrecked for sharing the gospel and finding ourselves swimming for our life? How many times have we been beaten for sharing the gospel? How many times have we been in prison? Never. We have a great life when it comes to serving Christ. If anything, we've got it really good. Aren't you thankful for that? That we don't have to be persecuted to want to step in this building and just worship God? And we don't have to worry that things may happen to us? We can freely do that. But Paul went beyond just saying, you know what, I can find lots to complain about. He went beyond getting angry about it. He actually found joy in it. So I want to break down these scriptures that we just read. The first 8 verses I read to you, Paul was thanking them for what they had done. He was expressing the importance of fellowship and how we think about each other and how we should pray for one another. And he tells them, I'm praying for you and I'm thinking about you. And he even said, as God is my witness, I long to be with you again. And he's talking about fellowship with each other. But then he changes the subject at verse 12. And he starts setting their mind at ease. He's wanting them to know, it's okay, guys, because he knows they're worried about him. He's been going through a lot, and he's sitting in a prison cell, and they're thinking, man, it must be horrible just sitting there day after day, all for just sharing the gospel. And he sets their mind at ease, and he says in verse 12, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, here's the cool thing about that word advance. If you were to look in the Greek, and the word advance that he used in this point, in this moment, was the same word used for the woodcutters who would go before an army and they would clear a path and they would make sure that everything was clear. There was no obstruction so the army could march forward and advance in where they were going. And Paul's saying, what is happening to me, I'm okay with it. It's all right because what I am doing and what is happening to me is being used to advance the gospel. So there will be no distractions. There'll be no obstructions. There'll be nothing in the way, and other people can come along behind me and advance the gospel. So here's what we need to understand today. I've been at this church for almost 9 years now, and we've seen some pretty incredible things at this church. I've been in ministry for 14 years now, And I've got to see a lot of people come to know Christ. I've got to see people be baptized, healings, all those things. But you know, out of all of those, somebody else went before me and advanced the gospel to get me to the point where I could lead someone to Christ. Someone planted a seed in their life. Someone was praying for them long before I even came along. That's exactly what Paul was talking about. I'm advancing the gospel so that those who come behind me can do it that much more. And church, that's what we're to do. We can't sit back and ride the wave and go, you know what? This is great. Man, look at people being touched. Look at lives being changed. Man, I'm having an awesome work done here. It's not just because of us. It's because of people who have gone before us. We're reaping the benefits of their hard work. And now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to step up and say, what can I do to advance the gospel? What can I do to let it be easier to take away some distractions or some persecution that someone else might have to go through to get someone to the point of Christ? And my question would be, what are we doing to advance the gospel? One of the things I love about Wednesday nights and these focus nights is we're a little more laid back. We're not in a hurry. I shorten the message on purpose so that we can spend some time at the end truly praying about what we've just heard. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, we tend to preach the message. We get to the end. We say amen, and we're out the door, and we haven't even had time to soak in what we've just heard. And so one of the things I'm doing tonight, we're going to be done plenty early to give you an opportunity to just sit and ask God, God, what am I doing? What can I do to help advance the gospel? In what ways am I reaping the benefits of what someone else has already done? So I want us to focus on that tonight. Look at verse 13. Paul said this, so that it has been known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So here's the situation. And this is one of those where Paul saw a really bad situation turned into a really great opportunity. For 24 hours a day, he has a Roman soldier chained to him to make sure he doesn't escape, to make sure he's not going anywhere. And once again, what a great opportunity for him to go, man, this cell is disgusting. It stinks. God, why am I here? Why have you put me here when I could be out sharing the gospel with other people? This really stinks, being chained to this soldier all day. And he could find the negative in all of that, but you know what he did? He saw it as an opportunity because these soldiers, they have 6 to 8 hour shifts. They're chained to him. They're not going anywhere. So what did he do? He said, here's an opportunity. They got to listen. They're not going anywhere. So he begins to witness to these Roman soldiers, and it worked. He starts getting them saved because if you look down at verse 22, he said, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. While he's chained to these guards, he's leading them to the Lord. Let me say this. You have to be able to see beyond your current circumstances. No matter where you're at in life, can I be real with you? It's never fun going through hard times. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you're going to feel good. But in those moments, if you're just walking down the Walmart aisle, as horrible of a life as you may feel like you're having, someone right across the aisle could have a lot worse life, need some encouragement, and if you're so focused on yourself, you'll walk right by them. And you miss that opportunity to just share the love of Jesus with somebody. I will not say this at all for any attention to me, because to be honest with you, I honestly didn't even introduce myself to this man. But we were headed to the pumpkin patch on Monday. The kids were out of school, and so we ran out to the pumpkin patch to have a little time with our kids. And on the way, there was a guy who was pulled over to the side of the road who had a flat tire. And we drove right by him, and I saw him, and I said, Courtney, I could tell he was a little older, so I said, we really ought to stop and help him. We're in a hurry. We're trying to get out there. We didn't want to stop. I went all the way past him, probably a mile, and I just kept telling myself, you need to turn around. So finally I did. Can I tell you, I didn't try anything. I just knew I was supposed to do it. God took care of the rest, and whatever happens, happens. But all I did was I pulled over. The man did need help. He was out of breath. He was exhausted from trying to change the tire. Honestly, it didn't cost me 5 minutes. He had the wheel already off. All I had to do was jack it up a little higher, put the new wheel on, and tighten the lugs, and he was on the way. And it wasn't hard at all. And all I did was I said, God bless you. Hope you have a better day. I didn't have to invite him to church. Now, it could have been a great opportunity for me to, but I didn't feel right at that time, like that's what it was for. I just felt like I needed to help him. But how many times do we drive by those opportunities or walk by those opportunities? And there's times when we don't have time. There's times when we are consumed with something and we have to go on. I'm not here to condemn you or make you feel guilty for every time you don't stop and help somebody along the side of the road. Sometimes it's not safe. But if God places something in your mind or in your heart about someone, pick up the phone. Walk across the street. Do whatever it takes to advance the gospel. We are to be doing that. Paul used chains as a tool to lead people to Christ. How can you even imagine that? How can you picture sitting in a jail as an opportunity to advance the gospel? But he did. He found a way to do it. And here's the cool thing about Epaphroditus, the gentleman who was to deliver the gift and to deliver some encouragement to Paul. That's his whole reason for being there. And I can imagine on the way he was probably making notes. Okay, I really want to say this. I really want to be really encouraging to Paul and really build him up, because he's probably down after being there for so long, being chained to this guard in prison. And after he was finished, after this conversation was over, he's the guy that's encouraged. He's the guy that has a stronger faith and is ready to go just kill a giant because of the way Paul's attitude was in prison. I can think of many times I've gone to visit someone in the hospital or at their home, and I'm trying to encourage myself and think, okay, I'm going to say this or I'm going to do this and really do my best to encourage them. And by the time I leave, I'm the one encouraged because of their attitude when they're going through some kind of crisis, but their heart and their mind is on God. And I walk away blessed by them. That's exactly what Paul did. He said, I look at these things and I see that they have served to advance the gospel. He was doing none of this for himself. That's how he's able to find joy in all this. It's because it didn't matter what the circumstance was, he was doing it for God. Say this with me. Say, it's all good. Say, it's all good because it's all God. If you keep that in your mind, it's all good because it's all God. No matter if it's good or bad, I'm not saying God makes you suffer. God does not like it when we suffer. He's not pleased when we suffer. He loves us too much for that. But he's very pleased when we, in our suffering, can find it as an opportunity to advance the gospel. And those opportunities are there. So look at verse 19. He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. He's being positive again. He's facing trial in Rome, and it's life or death for him. He's either going to be convicted and he's going to die, or he's going to be let go and he'll go preach the gospel again. But he says in verse 20, as it is my eager expectation and hope, I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. It did not matter. His concern was that he honored Christ. If we can have this heart of Paul right here. As we go to prayer tonight, may you pray to have the heart of Paul that no matter the circumstance, no matter the life that goes on, the trouble that comes your way, that you can say, no matter what, that Christ be honored, that Christ be glorified, and that I advance the gospel. That is why we're here. That's what God calls us to do. And what that is really it's discipleship. Paul had so many people caring for him and following him because of his encouraging Spirit, His encouraging faith in Jesus Christ. So people wanted to follow Him. And it even encouraged them to want to share the gospel more. He talked about that in the Scripture. And then He finishes by saying, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Man, if He died, He's going to heaven. All is well. That's even better for Him. But as long as He's on this earth, He's going to do what He can for Christ to advance the gospel. So Lord, tonight, in this place, God, may we find the heart of Paul. Lord, I truly believe that there's probably people in this room right now who are struggling with something. God, it's probably something bigger than them. And Lord, it's easy for us to get down in those moments. It's easy for us to get discouraged and to begin to throw blame or questions or anger. And Lord, I pray right now that we would begin to find a way to find joy in all circumstances. God, that we would find a way to advance the gospel in all circumstances, just as Paul did. Lord, may we check our hearts tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen. For the next few moments, I just encourage you. It's only 7:20. I promise I'll let you go by 7:30. I just ask that you take a few moments. Maybe monitor our hearts. That's what we've been doing the last few weeks in this series. And just ask, God, what do You want from me? What can I learn from this situation that I'm in right now? And what can I do to encourage others in this situation? Let's take a few moments and ask God. Lord, thank You once again for Your love, for Your mercy, and for Your grace. And God, may You use us to advance Your gospel and to build Your kingdom. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. If you are at a point where you do need prayer, I'm standing here. I'll stay here. Love to pray with you. If you need a word of encouragement tonight, then please come see me. Look forward to seeing you Sunday. We're finishing, this will be our final week of Overflow, the series, and this week is Jealousy. So look forward to seeing you Sunday. Have a good rest of the week.